Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you would anoint my lips to be faithful in proclaiming your word, that we may receive it with pure affection and with godly resolution to live in your way. For we ask these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. One of my childhood memories during this time of the year is that once summer came, the Benners ate a lot of corn on the cob. We didn't have to go to the supermarket to get corn on the cob. We bought it from a local farmer back in the day when many farmers set up fruit and vegetable stands right by their driveway. In fact, we could buy corn and peaches in large quantity, not only for our consumption in the summer, but what we couldn't eat in the summer, we would freeze or can, which lasts us the rest of the year. Summertime was picking and harvest time because the plants were ripe for picking. In Amos 8, we hear that the word of the Lord that Israel is ripe. But this ripeness does not have a positive connotation. It signaled that Israel was ripe for judgment. As we consider the message of Amos, I want to look at God's word of judgment reviewed and applied. So my first point is God's word of judgment is reviewed. And under that, God's judgment described. Amos 8, 1 through 3 says this, "Thus the Lord God showed me, and behold, there was a basket of summer fruit. He said, 'What do you see, Amos?' And I said, 'A basket of summer fruit.' Then the Lord said to me, 'The end has come for my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. The songs of the palace will turn to wailing in that day, declares the Lord God. Many will be the corpses in every place. They will cast them forth in silence.'" Each year in the calendar year of the people of Israel, Israel had a festival called the Feast of Booths. This feast fell in the autumn season when the harvesting of crops was coming to an end. The feast was joyful because of the blessing of the harvest and a promise that more future harvests would come. In the case of Israel, this time of judgment is described when God will spare his people no longer. There will be mourning and wailing precisely because God's people did not listen to the word of the Lord and thus will suffer massive deaths as they are overthrown by their enemies. The grace that we have to see in this is that God forewarned his people time and time again. And so the grace is God in his mercy gave them that warning, and yet they would not hear it. Therefore, they were ripe for judgment. In the midst of this word of judgment, he gets again specific about what they didn't do. And so God rebukes his people for their disregard for the poor of the land. Amos 8, 4 through 7 says this, "Hear this, you who trample the needy, to do away with the humble of the land, saying, 'When will the new moon be over, so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we may open the wheat market to make the bushel smaller and the shekel bigger, and to cheat with dishonest scales, so as to buy the helpless for money and the needy for a pair of sandals, that we may sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, indeed, I will never forget any of their deeds." The Lord God has revealed himself as the God who remembers. Heard his people cry, and he remembered their afflictions as slaves in Egypt by their masters. God heard their groans and felt the burden of their servitude, and he came to deliver them from the hand of Pharaoh and their oppressors. As the people of God, they have been shown mercy and compassion. as they were brought out of Egypt and into the promised land. And therefore, throughout the Old Testament, Jehovah reminds his people to remember the poor because they once were taken advantage of as they were slaves in Egypt. And so he's saying to them, remember your own history. Leviticus 19:34 says this about the treatment of aliens and foreigners living in Israel. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. In Amos 8:4-5, we have the case of merchants not working on the Sabbath or holy day in accordance with God's law, but their hearts are not engaged in worship. All they're thinking is, I can't wait till this day is over with so I can go back to make some money. And even as they're doing that and thinking about making money again, greed and dishonesty rules their conduct. They want to give less than they should have, according to the scale, and get more. So in our measurements, it would be like a 5 pound of sugar or flour, but it actually isn't 5 pound. It's 4.5 or 4.25. And they start charging you more and more for less and less. The Bible rebukes this sin and calls it what it is, dishonest scales. Listen to these verses in the Old Testament which speak about the injustice of dishonest scales. Proverbs 11:16 says, a just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his concern. And Micah 6:11 says this, can I justify wicked scales and a bag of deceptive weights? These verses, including Amos 8:5, speak of a merchant intentionally changing his scales so he gives the person less than what is marked. And it is especially the poor of the land who suffer from these dishonest scales. The merchant takes advantage of the poor in which you pay less and less. Excuse me, the other way around. You pay more and more and you get less and less. And the longer this practice continues, the more deception happens. As people who enjoy a high standard of living, we must look beyond our needs and show concern for the poor. And in our day, it is often the poor who are just above the poverty line who are the most vulnerable. They don't get any government assistance, and yet they are too poor to afford health care, transportation, and other needs. The poor who are very vulnerable and in need of mercy and relief. I knew of someone in this very situation whose parents could hardly afford to pay electric and heating. And as she related to me how much a relief it was when either family or friends would volunteer to pay that electric or heating bill. It saved them from destitution and poverty. And so God calls forth throughout Scripture a special concern for those who are poor. You can never underestimate how much this helps in relieving stress and keeping at least that family intact and saving them from excessive strain and duress. Israel was rich at this very point in their history, and yet from a material perspective, they did not lift a finger to help the poor, instead took advantage of them. So God has a word of rebuke for his people, particularly because they did not remember the poor of the land. Second point is God's word of judgment is applied. Amos 8:11-12 says this, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or thirst for water, but rather for hearing the words of the Lord. People will stagger from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They will go to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they will not find it. And so the famine we speak of here is not a physical famine. It's not a lack of physical food and water, but a spiritual famine, a case of the soul being starved. And the question is, what is starvation of the soul? Alec Motia says this in his commentary. The word wander or stagger, used in Amos 8:12, is used of the rolling gait of drunkards, of the swaying of the trees in the wind, of lips quivering in agitation. So here, as those who hardly know what they are doing, or who are flapping in panic or agitation, they traverse the land to discover once what they had so lightly regarded. They're staggering around for the word of the Lord, the very word that they had rejected. Now they seek and aren't able to find. It bears repeating that every person has a religious instinct that comes from the fact that we are made in the image of God. But due to original sin, that good instinct has become corrupted and distorted as we fall for anything except the worship of the true God. The same people who would not hear the word of God taste the poor fare of man-made religion, which is ever-changing, and as they make it up as they go. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 1 about humanity as it is engaged in idol worship in Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. For even though they know God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. In Amos 8:12, we have people staggering, looking for the word of God, but since they rejected it, there's no word to be found. In fact, in Romans 8:14, what do they do? But they swear by the guilt of Samaria. They swear by a small g god, as Amos is reproving them not only for worshiping idols, but also swearing by them. They're in absolute desperation, as Amos has prophesied about their undoing as a nation, and they're swearing by a made-up god, taking their oaths in the name of a false god. And so there is a famine in the hearing and the application of God's word. The corrective to this famine is that we need to hear with eagerness and readiness the true word of a living God. We need to think about and build our lives upon the solid foundation of God's word and make his word our guide and direct our priorities, our thinking, and our actions. J.I. Packer makes this comment about the starting point in hearing God's word, which is meditating upon the word of the Lord. Packer says this: meditation is a discipline. It starts and continues with Scripture itself. Reason and imagination are called into play, not to run free and create, but to probe and understand the word of the Lord. To this end, we are to meditate in a spirit of dependence and within these stated limits. To be useful to our souls, meditation must be anchored to the word of God. Let us then take our Bibles afresh and resolve by God's grace henceforth to make full use of them. Let us then read them with reverence and humility, seeking the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Let us meditate on them till our sight is clear and our souls are fed. Let us live in obedience to God's will as we find it revealed to us in Scripture. And the Bible will prove itself to be both a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. May it please the divine author of Scripture to give to all his people that for which the litany asks, increase of grace, to hear meekly his word and to receive it with pure affection and to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Even within the context of Amos 8, in the midst of this word of judgment, we also hear that at noonday, darkness will come, and your morning will be that as of a only sun. Amos may not have realized it, but the Holy Spirit prophesying through Amos speaks of that time of hope that Jesus died, and there was darkness over the land, and there was mourning among the godly that the only begotten Son died for us. It's in Him that we hope, and it's in through God's Word that we have newness of life, and our souls will be well fed. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, help us to hear your holy word and to reverently and obediently apply it. Help us to be shaped and molded by the message of your word. For these things we beg through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.